that's the thing. Let me tell you, it actually came in with a lot of people. Like, you were mixed. So
was
like,
it a boys' school only though?
It was mixed. And girls. Mixed.
Yeah.
Yo, the shit that gets down in those fucking schools, bro.
Welcome. Introduce yourselves.
My name is Dakbo, and myself and a couple of my friends, we run Mob Kilshi.
Nice.
Dakbo, what is your street name?
Madu.
Because this guy just called me all formal. My name is Dakbo.
I thought we were supposed to be formal.
I was like, what's your street name? Wow. Okay, well, as you asked, my street name is Fizzle.
Nice.
Man like Biz.
Yeah, you get man like peas. Like, man got many peas. Nobody say I get plenty money though, but like, I got many peas popping.
Nice.
So, you get like, on the other hand, my name is Dolapo, and I'm just the guy that you need in your life, basically.
Hey, wow. Problem solver. I told my boy one time. He asked me, said from now on, he said if someone asked him what do you do for a living, he said I solve problems.
I'm a problem solver on God. Like,
as a woman, if I heard that, yeah. Let me not say too much. I think,
wow! Please tell me. Please, no. This we are not holding back. We are not old.
I think you.
If a man said to me, "Yeah, what do you do? I solve problems." All right, calm. Like, I'm with you.
Come on, son. Are you making a list? Are you making a list? Or
I said, "I'm with you." Like, you know what? Just tell me, I'm here.
What?
So yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you for coming to the studio. So we wanted to talk to you about Mob Kilishi, because right now, I mean, I came across the brand last year. I was so impressed by the packaging, by what you're doing. I don't even eat Kilishi. I'm going to be very honest with you. The taste was really nice. So give us a background. Like, how did it start? What inspired you to start the brand?
I think it's like a selfish venture, to be honest. Like, I just wanted to have Kilishi around me. Like, that was what inspired me to start. Oh. So I just went to have Kilishi around me. I would go like the longest to get Kilishi. I would go to like Maryland, Kedja Expressway, just trying to like get Kilishi from the road. And I'm like, why should I even do this every time? And the Kilishi was mostly trash. So I was like,
Kilishi, right? Yeah, I know it's normally like the northerners kind of make it on the street.
Or? Yeah, they make it, but they like transport it to the street.
Okay, in Lagos.
Like, they try to sell it in traffic, in airports, and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, we've gone to school, right? Like, we can make this stuff better. So
nice.
So like, I want to know the process here. Like, you just. You're eating Kilishi one day, and the next day you say you want to go. You want to go and go play Kilishi?
Not really. So like, some, you know, the salad breaks. Like, in uni, I was done with uni, and I was like, I'm leaving uni with a third class. Nobody will fucking employ me.
Ooh, so what happened?
Well, I guess I got carried away.
Life.
Okay. So like, I'm like, okay, I don't really want to work for anybody. Like, in that sense, and I'm not being like proud or that kind of stuff, but I just felt like I could give more if I was doing stuff on my own. So so this salary break, I'm telling my partner, I used to be partner, I'm like, okay, it's from Katsina State. So I'm like, okay, can you bring me some Kilishi when you go
that's
to
in
Katsina?
The north, Katsina yeah. State. Yeah.
Does Kilishi, first of all, does it originate from the north?
Actually originates from in Nigeria, yes, in the north, but it's like a 1,600 year old tradition. So it's from the this guy, the Americans fought to get their land.
The natives, the native Indians.
Yeah. Wait, how did we now pick it up all the way from there?
So, like, you know, you know, like, culture.
It's just culture now. It's just culture and mix.
Yeah.
And food.
Them is like 1600 years. Here is like 400 years.
Mad.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, those guys that do the trans-Saharan trade, they need food.
And
that was the way they were preserving the food.
It was just, it was the easiest way to preserve food.
And Kinishi, correct me if I'm wrong, I've always known beef jerky. Is that the same thing?
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same
thing. Okay, so what we call it in Nigeria is Kinishi.
You call it Kinishi. Yeah. And Nigeria, obviously, we add extra spice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's killing you now. That's why they call it Kinishi. That's killing you with the spice.
We're just extra spicy here.
Extra as well. Okay.
So that's the story.
You know
so
what?
You made it for yourself. Yeah.
I was just about to say something, right? Like, the first time I had Kinishi, my dad brought it from Sokoto. And he was like, this is their suya. This is the way they make these things and they preserve it. Yeah. But the one that he brought was so thin.
Yeah.
So I want to know, like, why the size of the Kinishi is always changing. Because one packet you get is, like, thin. Some is bigger.
Yeah.
And some of them take you longer to chew it. Some is not. Mm. So like, how does that whole process go? Like,
you tried it.
Yeah, I've tried it.
So, okay, so pretty much it means he has tried all the Kinishi, the rubber, the
rubber. What is rubber?
Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry.
Let's explain what the rubber is.
That rubber has a story. Don't worry. But let that go say.
So, like I said earlier, I'm like, if you've gone to school and you've learned some stuff, like. Mm. You know how to make stuff better, basically. So, like, we didn't start. It wasn't that perfect when we started. Cheers. We thought it was perfect because it was better than what we had. Like, what was on ground.
Your packaging is A1. I know we'll get into that, but it's A1. Yeah.
So, like, we didn't start that way. Like, it's like it's been a learning curve for us. At the end of the day, so it's like. I don't know if I have to give out the sauce.
Sorry. I need to add. He said daily learning curve. Every day you are getting the knock. Thank you very much.
So you get better every time. Like, you get better every time. Like you try to like use this stuff. You know, it sounded nice. Oh, we're killing two cows. You know, it sounds nice when you say that, but at the end of the day, like maybe what you're doing doesn't make sense because you don't even need the entire part of the cattle to make kitchen.
Okay, that's such a good point. Okay, so I don't want you guys to give away your full secret.
Yeah.
So, you know, but how involved are you? So you're talking about you were involved since the killing of the cow. You see the whole process.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing there is like in understanding such venture, you need to actually understand the process from the beginning to the end.
Because
most of the time, a lot of, like I said earlier, I don't know, before the show, we started the show, like I said, it's knowing what to do, basically. If you really don't know it, don't worry. You can continue to be like, I'm doing this, but it wouldn't actually just amount to anything.
Oh, man.
So like, what you are saying that like it's you really have a nice packaging, it's so nice, it's A1. Babes, that's like
you're giving us our flowers.
Oh, no, but even, A1, no, you haven't even started giving us our flowers yet.
No, but it's A1,
I
said, but
like, no, I understand what you're saying, but like,
I'll take that over 10 million in 6 months.
but really, like it's just the fact that like you're being able to understand the process from beginning to the end. So like when I said the rubber, I meant because I'm actually the one on the road usually. Okay. So
yes.
I actually get to hear a lot of questions,
sorry.
A lot of slaps, a lot of knocks. And over time, they'll be like, isn't it that this thing that they put on Insta blog that was rubber? People were eating rubber.
Yeah.
And it was true.
Wait, so Kinishi was on Insta blog for
At some point in time, people were producing using rubber to actually just produce Kinishi.
Jesus.
So, then a lot of people deterred from it. When that shit broke.
Do you see why they eat street food? Do you see why they eat street food?
I'm trying to deep this whole thing here. And I'm just getting combobulated in my mind. I'm thinking, how are you going to use rubber to make
Kinishi? I really don't understand the thought process to it. But it happened. And people profited from it, however it is. So,
I think hunger is a thought process.
So you
hunger.
Can...
Hunger.
Like the people making it, like they're like hungry. and they don't care about human lives.
You understand? Mm. So
you just want to make some money.
They just want to make money.
Facts. They get desensitized kind of to human lives.
You get. So it's some people can actually go the extreme. Some people be like, okay, there is a line.
Okay, but explain to me, where did the rubber come into the process?
The rubber coming into the process is what was when somebody made a discovery video,
mm-hmm.
and pouring hot water on the kilishi and the pepper. Everything just slid off drew,
and it was rubber and left.
Yeah. It was just rubber.
No, it was a
council kilishi.
It was a council kilishi.
I'm not
ready
to see you again now. Even see you as council.
Trust me.
It was rubber left.
That was then. You know, now, well, with the advent of quite some of our competitors, mm-hmm. shout out to our competitors, but we know you're not up to it.
Yeah, the packaging definitely.
No, but yes. Like, it's when people actually eat some kilishi, they'll be like, oh, okay.
Mm.
It'd be like, mm-hmm. but when you actually eat kilishi, you'll be like, ah.
You'll know.
You know, you understand?
People that like kilishi really like it to the point that they stock the freezer with it.
Mm.
Because I've noticed that it's different to other kind of things like puff puff and so
it's easy eating. It's like, okay, let's say you won't have meat, but you don't like have to prep a whole new meal or everything.
You understand? Mm. It's just like
you look rich quick for yourself
snack.
And it's like
a quick meat snack.
It's a savory snack. It's not sweet. Okay. Like you can just pick from the shop and have a good time. So I kind of get the whole point of it. I get why people like it, right? But for me, it's like, why is it not in my face? That's the question. Oh, I have not seen this like in my face.
What, the brand?
Not the brand, but kilishi. Like, why is it not in my face? I've never gone to somewhere and just seen it.
I think it's a state dependent. A butcher, before you come out the airport,
no,
they're shoving
the thing there is, what I would say is that, like, I think, one, you are not, I don't think you're adventurous with food.
Mm. That means you're not taking care of other demographics.
Let me just bring out one point. What I'm just going to say is, you're not adventurous with food, because if you were to be adventurous with food, you're probably at one point in time have come across it.
No, I've had it. I don't see Emma every day right now.
Yeah, I'll disagree with him.
Okay.
You know, you said like when you were younger, you used to have kilishi. Like, yeah. I used to do that. Like, my pops used to bring me kilishi when I was younger, and it never used to be enough.
Mm.
Like, it would be like, oh, I'm going for this meeting, I'm coming back, I'm bringing this kilishi. Yeah. Like, it never used to be enough. So, like, kilishi is scarce.
It's kind of like a scarce.
Like, you won't see it, but it's something that's supposed to be there.
Okay, I want to ask you guys. So,
that's so interesting.
What's the preservative in it? Because kilishi is something that can be preserved, right? It's preserved meat. So
no preservatives.
It's so dry.
So, like, what it is, like, the technical aspect might be boring and stuff, but, like, basically what you're doing is dehydrating the beef. You're taking all the moisture out of the beef. Okay. Not all, because, mm-hmm. like, if you take out all, it's going to just start breaking, like, crackers.
Okay.
So, like, you're taking out maybe 70% of the moisture out of the beef.
Okay.
So, that stops the growth of the bacteria.
Bacteria and
all that stuff. And to finish it off, you have to, like, roast it. So,
and what about the nutritional aspect of it? Do you still maintain some of the protein?
So the drier the beef gets, the more protein it has.
Oh, okay, good. So it increases the protein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then what about other nutrients? Is there any
there's other nutrients. There's so we use natural ingredients all through. So,
okay, good.
You know,
yeah,
everything
perfect.
Is from Katsina, natural and organic, basically.
You know what I'm thinking here?
Yeah.
This kilishi stuff is actually a more healthier food than suya, you know?
No, I'm trying to get down. Suya, but they wrap it in the newspaper.
Yeah,
not just newspaper.
The amount of fat.
A lot of fat.
A lot of fat in the soup.
Because they've already processed, dried that out already.
That is dried, exactly.
You should get out all the fat.
So, like, that's why it's the way it is, yeah. The thing there is, not everybody has actually keyed into the fact that this particular food is as this great.
Mm.
Because you, like you just said, it's more healthier than suya. But
shout out to suya though.
Shout out to suya though. Yeah, exactly. Regardless, yeah, but you, like you said, it's more healthier than suya. But on the other hand, you find out that, like, every time you eat kilishi, you still want more. But if you eat suya, I'm just saying the main reason why that is because it's a lot of fat and oil, and there's a level to what we can actually, our body can actually take in.
Oh, sometimes you like that.
No. I'm just being. No way.
I like how you have a Kalishu brown, but you still don't.
No way.
Because Kalishu, it's hard for my teeth. Man, I just chewing.
It's a lot of chewing. That's what I was saying.
I can't take the Kalishu.
No, but it's like, when do you get to the point where it's like, it's the fine level of chew? Also,
that's why Mob Kalishu is different. You understand?
We're
like,
supposed to have product.
A lot of people would be biting Kalishu and you will not end.
So we actually didn't do intros.
That's what I was about to say.
I wanted to do intros because I was going to come on the point about how good you are when it comes to marketing the brand.
We want
to
know your education history, your experience history as well. Yeah.
You made a very good point there. Yeah. So give us your introductions.
What do you want, to be honest?
No, so basically, just who you are, and then just talk about like your education history, your
and
experience,
your role in the brand.
And then your role in your company right now.
Yeah, the role in the brand.
You know, that role. Okay.
That role, I try to be modest with it all the time because, like, there's some things that you can do on your own, and like, there's a lot of things that you can't really do on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel like if I take all the glory, like, I'll be taking away from the hard work that the other people in mm-hmm. on the team mm-hmm. like putting jiggers.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, everybody would be like, oh man, you're the CEO, blah blah blah. But I had to consider myself the mob boss.
Mob boss. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, Mob Kalishu, mob boss. Yeah. Right, these motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell a woman that either.
So yeah. So like that's what I like consider myself as, and like, you know, like every other person on the team like plays their part. So I
And you mentioned university before. What did you study at that time?
So I did economics. Okay. I studied economics, third class, as you guys know already.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like university was kinda like a fake place because they didn't really teach you like real life experience. Like it was when I got into business that I understood the real life experience. Like everything they taught me in school got clearer when I got into business.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, you know, they could have told me like with an example of what's happening in real life telling me, oh, I have to do the Y, the X, the this thing every fucking time. Mm. Do you understand?
But you know the reason, I mean, just to kind of say that, right? The reason why those things are there is because those teachers, they didn't have if they really did well in business, they wouldn't be teaching.
Yeah.
So I actually, when it comes to education, on the sidetrack, I have a different viewpoint. Both are just as important. Education gives you systematic structure to what you're learning.
Mm.
And you need that to approach the practical side. The practical side is also very important to teach.
Yeah,
you.
But when does that come in? That's the question.
Yeah.
Like,
so the mistake they
people,
make,
people
yeah.
are bringing in a lot of education too early on without
too much.
Experience.
Without practical science. Yeah. Yeah.
So now you forget, you remember, if you're doing practical and you're getting it at the same time, you'll be like, oh, this is what I'm learning in the class. So it's like, cool. And now I'm doing it here. It's making sense.
And you get several eureka moments. When you're in the business and you're like, this is what they were telling me in class.
Like 10 years ago.
You understand?
I agree with you on that point. No, but continue.
So that's how I feel about it. So I got my economics BSc, Obafemi Awolowo.
Okay.
You know, I'm out here. I never went back to get my certificate because I was like, oh man, like this is Kalishu or nothing. So like, I'm going all in basically.
That's good.
Amazing. So, and you?
I'll get to you at some point.
Well, I did human resource, industrial relations, and personnel management.
In one degree.
that's one degree in Unilag, actually.
Unilag,
University of Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
I did my BSc, and I just knew that like it was more of me being able to exert my inner skill in the real life. And that really happened for me when, I think that was my 300 level, when I actually I interned in a stockbroking firm.
Okay.
And I was able to see life in a different perspective. So it actually even fucked with my head to the extent that when I go back to school, because normally we don't intern, and I felt like we should have interned. It should be something. That's why, like what you said, it felt like there should be more practical real life experience.
So let me just get this right. You don't intern at what stage? Because in the UK, they encourage interns after in second year of university. So what's the process like in Nigeria?
So like in not some courses, you probably, yeah, you would have to intern more of engineering courses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in most business courses,
yeah,
they just want you to read it and just get your certificate and get it.
You can't do that in business courses.
You understand? So that's the standard for any. I can categorically tell you that, like, I don't think any business department in all the universities in Nigeria, in most of the universities in Nigeria actually allow their students to intern. It's just go read.
So what, they wait to NYSE or for practical experiences?
No, like for practical experience. So they actually rely on you to get that practical experience in NYSE.
Okay.
And
it's too late.
You understand? Yeah, so quote and unquote, by the time you're done, you don't really have an understanding of what is really going on out there. So,
yeah.
300 level, I was like, shout out to my mom though, like the inquisitive woman. Like, she just walked up to the MD of Mary Stem that day and like, my son wants to intern in your office. So, and that was it.
Nice.
It was more of like, will it happen? Will it happen? Not happen. Nice. And that was it. And luckily, I got the job and I can tell you that really shaped my understanding to how to go about things, about life, basically.
And so how did you guys meet though? Because I'm trying to say, you went to, was it in one bar, one street?
Like, no way.
How did it happen?
I think he needs to actually just tell the story. For once, I actually would like to hear his own story about it.
I was maybe like a GS3 student in Mayflower School. Shout out Mayflower School, one of the best schools in the whole world. So I was a GS3 student in Mayflower School.
Where was Mayflower School?
That's in the Kenai Ogun State. Okay, so it's nice. It's made by Tai Shilari, and like
Shilari.
School is like a prison. When you go into school, you get like a student number. Camp. But like they indoctrinate you into like life.
Okay.
You understand? Like, so like you're meeting 15,000 students, like you're interacting
with 15,000,
like a whole community,
a different community entirely.
Like they limit what you can do with the time,
the outside world, and everything.
So I was a GS3 student in that school, and you know his mom brought him to the school, and she's like, "Oh, it's my son," and you know, like I was a GS3 student, like I didn't even have any mouth.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't know what GS3 is.
GS3 is like when you finish primary school.
Oh, so it's young.
Yeah, so like three years after primary
you're basically
school.
Like you're basically, your third year in high school.
Yeah,
your
third year
in
high
school.
Year nine.
14, 15. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So his mom is like bringing him, and then she meets me, and she's like, "Oh, this is my son. Like, I want you to look after him," basically.
Oh, yeah. She made you like the school buddy.
Yeah, I was like a kid.
I didn't know her from anywhere. She's a G, man.
Yeah.
I rate that.
So she's like, "Oh man, this is my son. You have to like take care of him." And yeah, obviously, I had like I was a cool kid. I had like school fathers.
What's the age gap then?
I don't know. I'm 30.
29.
You guys look, you look younger than your age.
No, you know, then let me explain to you. Like, the school called Mayflower is like you said, it's a different society entirely. So it takes fortitude, it takes resilience, it takes
to deal with that kind of
you trust me, like
is it like do you have to wear like checkered shirts?
Yeah, you understand what I'm trying to say. Like, now you get
it's
it.
A boarding school.
Now you get it. A proper boarding school.
All that stuff.
Proper, like don't
you know why I'm laughing so hard?
Don't mess around.
I went to one of them.
So you can understand it.
So right. I can understand what you're talking about now.
I used to climb with the school fence, boy. I ain't got time for your maths. Catholic,
bro. Hey, did you clear fields? Did you clear fields?
We had plots,
man.
Every day, every morning.
Wait, what? In Nigeria, they clear fields for school?
We're slave laborers.
Motherfuckers are in jail.
Every morning.
In the UK, we have it easy. You've heard it here today. You cleared fields.
Yeah,
that's manual labor.
Nigerian body squeeze.
Yeah, we did that every morning.
We learned a lot of stuff.
We actually did learn a lot.
I'm learning sort of. So children need to. I've never heard.
We had all our stuff. We had like a poultry. We had our bakery. We had our fishery. We had our
piggery. It teaches skills then. Like, yeah.
And then you meet a lot of people too, and like, I think where most people get like. Find it difficult is like when they have to interact with people and like interact with different elements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like that school made you interact with a lot of weird people. Like it was a lot of weird people, a lot of trust me, people.
Yeah, a lot of weird people. That's the thing. Let me tell you, it actually came in with a lot of people. Like you were meet. So
was
like
it a boys' school only though.
It was mixed. And girls. Mixed.
Yeah.
Yo, the shit that gets down in those fucking schools, man. The shit that gets down in those boarding schools,
I must
bro.
Be honest. I must be honest. It's grimy.
It's what? Grimy. Nah.
Let me say something. Yeah, like it actually made a typical Nigerian child. I must be honest with you. Yeah. Should actually go through such system at some point in time. Mm. No, wait, let me land.
Take my kids there.
Yeah,
is it a government school?
It used to be a government school.
Messed it up already.
So no, let me not explain something to you. The thing there is, when I say should actually go through such, I meant like. It actually would mold you. No. Let me. Not all through all the torture we went through because trust me, like we went through shit. Like we properly went through shit. I can't cap on that. But like you now shaking your head. You be like you now seeing it as what it is. Obviously, I wouldn't if I'm actually going to do it all over again or if I could actually make it. I would definitely make it better.
Okay.
But like. It would be in the foundation of what I believe actually made me what I am right now.
Okay, great. Yeah.
So I actually agree with some of the points.
You understand?
And you made some good points.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that there's some traumatized people.
There's a fine line.
Regardless of whatever it is.
Let me just say one punishment that I was spectating at the time. I'm not going to say anything else. This guy, right? So... there was a senior, so no one in your school, right? In your school, there's different year gaps, and then the one with the largest year gap is the senior, and then you have senior to year junior, right?
Mm.
So the senior that was trying to punish a junior is like a younger person, and you know what this guy did?
What did he do?
He told him to go and fetch water, which was 13 miles away.
13.
1-3. He fetched the water, and he brought it back. Wait, but the junior was so pissed off because he had to walk 13 miles there and back. He was came back drenched, tired, sweating.
13?
Wait. So you know what he did? He now peed in the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because he was so angry, peed in the water and gave it to the senior that was going to have a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guess what the senior did? He took that water, he put it there, he put an empty bucket, and he gave the junior a teaspoon.
To drink it.
No. To fill
the next one. No way.
That's dark, man.
This is the kind of schools I'm talking about. It's jail for children.
No, Nigerian men are so wicked.
No. I must be honest with you.
That's dark.
I must be honest with you. A large chunk of men from pretty much about 30, 35 to 25 actually went through such
that trauma. Yeah.
So be it, even though you're in day school, you would see shit.
Because you went to many different schools, right?
I went to a lot of schools,
and in the
schools,
UK,
boy.
You went to school in the UK as well, primary
school. A lot
of schools
in the UK.
So...
in both countries. I went to schools in the trenches. I went to schools in the, in the White House. But where else?
That would your comparison, because bullying is universal.
Yeah.
But this is this a stage up? Is this trauma? Is this torture? What do you what would you like articulate it as?
So, like, to describe the Nigerian boarding school, like, hierarchy of society is like, first of all, they told it's like a economy. You put a bunch of people together, if they form an economy, right?
Mm.
So
that's the word.
They'll be that's leaders. There will be
exactly.
They'll be aspirants. That's
the word. I want to get to that place
the word.
So they can show you.
Show the next president out.
I'm the guy. So there's different levels of gangsters and everything going on there.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. Like it keeps you awake.
It gives you real life.
It gives you real life scenarios experience. To actually deal with.
So
in a camp.
I agree with all this, but I just come. With what I've experienced in my own life, I always say to you, you know that they always have that saying, "Work doesn't kill you, makes you stronger."
Mm.
I believe it's a balance. Too much trauma can just mess you up completely.
That's exactly what I'm
saying.
So
I
balance.
Think you need
so
to see real life.
Like there are some
yeah, you
up
need
people.
To you need to experience real life. You need to experience these things, but you can't. It can't be in excess because what it does.
You know, trust me, yeah. If you want me to say this, yeah, we're all messed up.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
everybody's
so, yeah. So, I must be honest, yeah.
Do you remember that video you sent me?
We are all messed up.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
You just get a degree.
Yeah, 100%.
You understand? Yeah. So, most of the time, I actually see that, like, you actually feel like there are some people that you just waste. They just waste. I'm sorry to say, they will just be wastes. But on the other hand, did they get the day with it? Did they useful? So, typically,
true.
Like, typically, yeah. No, honestly, typically, in, no, growing up, no, having,
that patience
having, no, yeah, no, 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 I mean, not everybody has that patience because yeah. it goes with, I think it goes with the kind of, what's it called? The kind of personality we yeah, have. Yeah. The yeah, exactly. Some people can actually accommodate you and actually
empathy.
Not empathy. Like basically, actually entertain the rubbish you would actually have till the day you're going to be useful. Some people can't. Some people would actually just tell you outrightly, straight up. But the balance for it, to be honest with you, the balance for it is that emotional intelligence that you get in. You being able to actually accommodate or live with
all these worries.
Exactly. You being able to actually live with mad people. It's a different level of emotional intelligence.
In fact, this topic is for another day. Okay. We actually never touched on Pizzle, your role in Mob Kalishi.
Well, that's difficult though. But not really difficult on your end. I've not been able to define it, honestly. Just as hard as Dakpo actually just decided to create a safe haven for himself. I mean, like, more boss. He just said more boss.
That's cool.
He just said more boss. Yeah, it was just so easy for him. Actually,
choose your role, man.
you know how hard it is when you actually be like, you're always trying to intercept in different frequency because it's part of you already. So it's something you live in, you breathe in, however it is. Like, you wake up, you actually think about it. You actually want to do something about it. So for me, and really, I'll just say I think I will fall in the strategy and marketing.
Yes,
yeah.
I know that's what I know you as. You know,
well, I actually just feel in the strategy and marketing angle, though.
Because where I want to go with this is one thing I've observed of you, over the last many months, since last year and things, is your confidence when it comes to marketing this brand is A1.
Yeah.
So I was at an event somewhere and they were talking about marketing your own content, and someone said they remove shame from it. Some of us, yeah. Even if you've got something good, we don't have the
guts to get the shame
to blast it everywhere because there's an element of shame. But see this guy right here, he's taught me a few gems over the last year. Man will bring that packaging to anywhere he is, a social event, he doesn't know who he's meeting, where he's going, and he'll bring the, he'll distribute out the Kilishi to everybody. And the packaging, I guess you guys would have seen it by now on the video, the packaging is A1, the taste is good. So that's why I'm, you know, leading you with these questions. Where did you even get that confidence from? Where did you get the knowledge from to be able to do that?
Well, I know that I'm a very outgoing person, in as much as I like to be very indoors too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very outgoing, and I just feel like you actually have to put out a lot of shit before you actually get your flowers. Basically, you actually have to do a lot of work, and this is going back to what we were talking about when you say like being independent of yourself and being confident, because I'm coming from a regiment, pretty much more or less like a regimented actually angle in my life, a young stage, whereas I know that, like, in as much as I know that as I'm old as I am, there's definitely a lot of laxity as to what it was then, but like right now I know what I want. So like, I know that if I don't do it this way, people are not going to see it. Because I can't actually walk up to people just normal gathering and just tell them that, yo, come and buy my Kilishi. Fuck them. Like, they're not going to actually look at me.
So how do you, what's the distribution line right now? How do you get your Kilishis out?
Oh, well, we do supermarkets. We do one-on-ones. You can actually just buy off our shop. Our online shop,
and there's an online shop as well. Yeah, what's the website for them to go to?
Mobkilishi.shop.
Mobkilishi.shop.
Yeah, but like,
excuse me, that's like that's not even the major
the
stuff.
Main, yeah.
To be honest, like, because like as a producer, you're supposed to be trying to reach out to like a distributor,
wholesalers, yeah. And
like, so at some point we're like putting all our energy into like trying to like meet individual people, and like that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because like individual people, like sometimes they don't rate you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You get,
like,
yeah,
like it's like when you show them like you're so humble, they take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's true. In Nigeria, that's
what it is. So, you know, that's why I said. That's why I said I wouldn't just walk to a gathering and tell them, "Come and buy my shit."
They
want to see me at my lowest.
Yeah.
No, that's
in Nigeria.
No, it's not Nigeria. It's the typical black man. No.
It's human mind. It's a human mind.
It's a human mind thing.
Yeah, it's human mind.
People want to see you at your lowest to be like, oh, okay, actually.
I don't mind my lowest.
No, I don't mind.
VC funds like in Nigeria, like you said, don't invest in B2C. They only invest in B2B or B2B2C. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it's an African, maybe not Nigeria Pacific, but it's an African thing in particular.
Yeah.
Their requirement is that you must be B2B or B2B2C.
Yeah.
You're telling me now that B2C...
Doesn't work.
Like,
so,
it takes a lot.
Exactly.
Like what you just dropped right now is a fucking huge gem.
Yeah.
It takes a lot.
I tell everybody this. Everybody like, that's got a startup, I tell them, make sure your core business model is B2B or B2B2C. Don't ever expose yourself to the
B2C. B2B. You don't have to do that.
No. That should be the minority of your sales in Africa.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And there's no pride.
Mad things sad
to me. So like, that's why I wanted to ask you. So I'm glad you raised the supermarkets. Right now, I'll tell you what I know, and I want you to dispel any myths or confirm what I say. I've heard, even in supermarkets, whether it's Abuja, whether it's Lagos, you can have your product there and it may even sell, but the supermarket themselves can tell you, oh boy, it didn't sell. Or they can, you know what I mean?
Even gets to the extent that, like, some supermarket actually give you a 3 months.
It's 90 days normally.
A 3 months positive check.
Yeah. I mean, well, a check is a check, though.
This guy.
Check is a check.
Go there with gone.
If you have to wait
Now you understand what it is.
A check is a check because, like we've gone through a lot.
Actually,
like, I'm not even trying to be on some bitching, like some bitch ass.
Honestly,
like, I don't even want sympathy.
We've been through, but like, shit like that.
We've gone through a lot where, like, you know, we've done a lot of stuff and we felt like, oh man, we're killing it. But like, when you look at data and like the old details, like, you know, like you're not killing it. But like now, for the first time, actually, like, we're keeping data. And
good. Yeah.
Do you understand? Like exactly. We know what it is.
Good.
So it's kind of like that's a little bit of arrogance and like, yeah, you know, confidence. And
so
like,
you're confident about the brand now?
Yeah.
Nah, that's a lot. That's a good feeling,
so that's,
you know,
as an entrepreneur. Yeah, that's a mistake. A lot of founders
and it goes, it goes back to what you asked me.
Yeah.
Like I said, when you said that, how am I confident in going out or walking out to people?
Yes.
I'm like, all of this, it's just a matter of time, because me, I see my product in the stands of the big supermarkets in international country, or basically outside the country at some point in time. You made mention of one thing, the packaging.
That's why I think you guys are export worthy.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
You know, like,
introduce them to
our packaging. Actually, like, passes customs just because of
the way it looks.
You see, and that's what I wanted to
like the best country in the world.
Bare looking at the packaging.
You see, that's what I wanted to tell you.
Bare looking at the packaging, yes. Like, oh,
yeah. That's what I wanted to tell you. Because
it goes.
People are in the diaspora were accustomed, apart from the ones still living the same Lagos life in diaspora, because some people live like that.
Mm.
There's some areas in the UK they call mini Lagos in some areas. But aside from that, diaspora used to a higher standard. And even when it comes to EU regulation in terms of importing goods, there's a certain standard when it comes to your processing and things, your packaging, you're good on that level. So I see you as a brand when it comes to Nigerian beef jerky or, you know, Nigerian kilishi. You're on that level. You're on that already.
It's not just us, too.
It's,
okay. It's a couple of competitors.
Yeah, but so, I won't say competitors, because at the end of the day, like,
they never reach.
Like, no.
In what
like,
aspect?
You're disrespecting them if you say they never
reach. No, like,
we respect the competitors.
Actually, because, like I said, shout out to them.
The whole point is to be able to create like a product. Like, it's to be able to create like to give trust to making meat products.
Because competitors are not a bad thing. Competitors create a market. Yeah. So when there's many of you, you have a market for your goods.
Yeah, and it's a good industry.
So the consumer then has to choose between, exactly, it's now an industry.
Yeah,
so you have the demand, so then consumers then choose amongst you. So it's a benefit sometimes.
So you just have to, like, for us, we have to work as hard as possible to like, separate ourselves from our supposed competition.
Okay,
so our own marketing, our values is that we're trying to keep our kilishi as original as possible. Like, if you've had our kilishi, like, if you eat kilishi and you remember what kind of kilishi you used to eat way back, that's kind of what, that's not even kind of, like,
so
that's what
like
our kilishi gives you.
Taste from what you have on the street, but it's not street food.
So we're not trying to, like,
I've had that, I mean, I've tasted it.
We're not trying to, like,
it was like that,
be like, oh, we're the most modern people, and, you know, like, we're trying to, like, stick to the past and, like, understand what it is in the present, so we can create something different.
I've noticed that. So how did you approach the supermarkets, though? What happened in that?
Well, it's like, just meet up with somebody that has like ties to the supermarket. We try to go to supermarkets.
I think for me, one thing, sorry for interrupting you, but I wanted to talk about like your NAFTAC registration.
Yeah.
So how did you get your NAFTAC registration?
So I think like the fuss about like NAFTAC.
Just so everybody's aware, you're NAFTAC registered, right?
Yes.
No. Because it's important to know that it's not a small business we're talking about. These guys have gone through compliance.
So when they see it, they'll know that they've gone through. Yeah.
So, like, you know, stuff makes people jittery sometimes. Like stuff that you, like, something that you don't know makes you like feel scared sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you understand like the principles, like NAFTAC is just like any other agency anywhere in the world. If you tell them what you do, if you tell them how you do it, like their operating procedures for everything, basically. That's all NAVDAC is asking you
there's
for.
There's operating procedures.
Yes.
So there's like, no. So we have a term on our podcast. So we we have a thing called lubricant. I don't know if you know.
The lube. Actually, the three of us have used that term.
Okay, lube. So you know what the lube is. You should know, because in NAFTAG, I'll be honest with you, what I have been told about NAFTAG is you need heavy lube.
Because all he's saying is operational standards. Do you know what?
Like, your lube can be like people that you know, right?
Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Your lube can be like having a lot of money, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is
your lube? So that NAFTAG lube in particular, who are you using the lube with? Is it with the person that you know? This is what I understood
by the NAFTAG process. Mm-hmm. Like, NAFTAG is not complicated. Like, NAFTAG is like they're the easiest people to like work with.
Okay.
Because all they require from you is tell them how you make your stuff, and they will come and gauge you based on how you make your stuff, like. They don't want you to make believe for them. Like, if you make your stuff
did they visit any of your sites? Yeah, they did. They visited our stuff and then they do like emergency visits.
Yeah. So like they pull up on you.
They just pull up on you anytime. Oh, yo,
you get
they pull up on you. So are you doing this stuff
that you are saying?
I swear to you.
So if you keep it original, like, even if they pull up on you, like, you're still doing what you're doing.
Okay, let me know. I had 1 million naira, 2 million naira.
Yeah.
How much pup would you need?
Well, I mean, I won't even say it was really about the money. Like I was saying earlier on, I'm like,
how much did you spend on that NAFTAG registration?
Well, NAFTAG registration was not a lot. We spent like, say, 250K.
250K. Yeah. How much was the lubricant?
That was all the lubricant. Because see, at the end of the day,
you guys got a good deal.
No, what they're saying is that they didn't use a lube.
Because at the end of the day, you have to be smart with the way that you operate business.
Okay.
Like, business is not just the rigid, you have to do this. Do you understand? That's not what it is. Like, you have to relate with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are human beings that, like, they're involved in this process.
Facts.
Like, if I tell you that, oh, I'm making my kilishi from Katsina, and in Katsina, you can go to my warehouse, to my, what's it called, my factory, and, like, do a, like, teach you understand, like, look at what my factory is, like, in Katsina.
Mm-hmm.
And there's NAFTAG people in Katsina that will go and inspect your factory. They know that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I'm bringing this stuff to Lagos State, and this, like, I'm making it from the north, I'm distributing it in the south. So in the south, what you're coming to look for as NAFTAG is that, oh, where are these guys packing this stuff? Like, is it safe for people to like use the product? Is it like,
okay, so, they don't pull up to the warehouse in the north.
So they'll pull up to the warehouse in the north and they'll coordinate with the guys in the south.
Yeah,
wow.
Yes.
Do you understand? Sure. Like, they look at what's in the north, like, oh, are these guys actually like, you know, are they what they say they are in the north?
I mean, that's good.
So it's not like oh, you have to just give somebody a million naira and be like, oh, shut up, your NAFTAG is this thing. We got our NAFTAG. we gave some, like, we went through the process, through the entire process of NAFTAG. But when they were going to like pull up on us, they came in a 2020 Hilux, and like it was the top buses that came. So that day they came.
It was because it was in our office in VIO.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, what are you guys up to? So like they came and like, I don't know if I say this, but we were not, I won't prepared. Say we were not prepared, but like it was just our normal work day.
Yeah, it's impromptu. You get
like so it was the like it was the realest thing ever.
Exactly.
Yeah, like they came, they saw where we like produced, they saw how clean it was.
Nice.
And then that time we're planning an exhibition because like our business is we're not dependent on just the kilishi aspect. Like the kilishi aspects is just like kilishi is just a product that we'll always have every time. But we're trying to like, you know, we're trying to like have interest in sports. We're trying to like have interest in charity. We're trying to like have interest in arts,
food.
In food, like shige. So like our business is multifaceted, basically. Like so it's Pizzo is the guy that like I won't talk to anybody on the streets.
Mm-hmm. But Pizzy is the guy that does that.
No, he's as in,
do you understand? Honestly, he's the guy that will be the outgoing guy. There's somebody that, like, if you study the pack, you see like this is art on it.
Yeah, it's art.
So
yeah,
art on it is like a commercial for one of our team members that does artworks.
Wow.
She get like is in Canada now trying to make his like trying to be better basically. So this is an avenue for you to be the best that you can.
And you know what you can do? You can even start doing art collaborations.
No, that's what he said. He said this guy is.
That's what I'm saying.
So just like when our guy comes back now, his price is like yesterday's price.
Yesterday's price is different, yo.
So you get like because we've been begging people to like just
listen to us. Yeah, like just come to have
like, hear what we're trying to say. No, like, look at us.
I hear you on that, but there's a burning question that I have too. Some of the problems that hold brands like you back is logistics and distribution, like you say.
And cash.
And you now mentioned exactly in cash flow. But this logistics part of it, you've mentioned Casino so many times.
Yeah.
I know there's not really too much storage issues with Kalishi, right? You don't need the cold temperature.
Yeah.
But how has it been distributing things from Casino to Lagos?
It's been like this smoothest. Because if you have like the information is the most expensive commodity.
You see, that's what
diaspora
suffer when they come here. We don't have the right information. Yeah,
like information is the most important stuff that you can even ever think of. Because, when we started, we started in 2016. And 2016, 2017, 2018, we were in a messed up place. We're not really making a lot of money.
Mm.
But we just kept through the fact that, we know what we're making is top quality.
Mm.
And we're going to get... at some point, we're going to get this exposure that we really want. So our guy in Katsina was messing up, basically. So he's going to buy a cow, basically, and say, I bought this big cow. But at the end of the day, I don't know. We don't know what he makes. So he could show you, the biggest type of cow, and what he's going to make is the smallest. So in 2019, we pulled up on it.
Do
you understand?
You flew to Casino.
Yeah,
nice.
He didn't believe it.
Yeah,
so you get so we pulled up on him. We're like, okay, this is what it is. We're renting a place. He told us that we were renting a place. We're not renting a place. So he was trying to connive with the owner of the place to say, tell them that I'm renting this. But the man was so gracious. The man was see, I'm not going to say I'm doing this when I'm not doing this.
Good. So, integrity.
Yeah. So
that's very important.
So we had the guy told us, we took our L's, we took our losses already. And I'm like, okay, I'll take this loss. If you want to do this with us, this is what you have to do now.
Mm.
These are the steps that you have to follow, basically. And then the guy was he wanted to be in, he didn't accept that he was messing up, basically.
Okay.
And he was I want to, it's this kind of election period. So I guess somebody was giving him money. And then it was he thought we were going to die, basically. So he was you guys, fuck off. You guys should fuck off. I'm getting money. Mm. He's looking at the hindsight.
Short
term. Yeah. I'm getting money now. I'm good. So I'm okay, if you want to do this and he said, you guys should fuck off. And I'm okay, we're going to fuck off. But this is what we're going to do. The man that was renting the place for us, he gave us a lady that she had a degree in food and stuff.
Okay.
And Katsina is a very patriarchal society. They don't believe that women should actually run anything.
Okay. Man.
So we have we employed we kicked him out because, not like we kicked him out, but he chose his part. And I tried my best to tell him that, are you sure this is what you want to do? And he's like, yeah, this is what I want to do. So I'm our goals don't align. So you have to leave. Do you understand? I still have goodwill towards him. If he comes back and says, I'm sorry for what I did, I still want to be in this, but you're going to take orders from that lady that we've employed.
Exactly.
Because she's somebody that, she does her job, she does it right. Is empowerment to
shout out to the women.
Seriously.
If you go to the north, it's crazy. In the north, they don't believe that. I'm sorry.
To speak the realness. Yeah. It's the truth.
They don't believe that women should have a chance.
Yeah,
and it really boils down to all of the women empowerment and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I want to say something here. Most of the women empowerment I see the real women empowerment I see is in the South and the West.
Yeah. Mm. I don't see it. You can't try that. Like
and it's now goes down to like whoever is listening. It goes down to the NGOs. Yeah, like that women empowerment. You guys probably take it to the real battle line.
Yeah, because they have a religious barrier.
Yeah, the religious barrier
is 50-50 because some of us, us Yorubas, were half Muslim, half Christian. Yeah. So but they have a strong
there is like 90-10. Like exactly. They don't rate the women.
So no, I want to just ask this question. Celebrity is going to look at me later, right? So like before we wrap up this, I want to know like what's dating like in Lagos? Are you mostly in Lagos, right?
All this guy ever. So what's dating like in Lagos like? Girls.
Yeah, dating like. What did you say now?
What's dating life like in Lagos?
They said dating life is expensive now.
Expensive? How? Why is it going expensive?
Because it is expensive.
So, but you must to kind of live in Lagos. You must have.
Well, I think that well, you probably have something to say.
I cannot.
Me?
What is that? I have something to say.
I have seen it all.
Yeah, man. But like dating in Lagos, I don't know, man. I'm not dated in a while though. But I've always had like girls that like, you know, like I just
yeah. Actually, usually yeah, because
dating is kind of crazy in Lagos because like
they always have girl where they die for.
Yeah,
her,
but just like dating is
me.
Crazy.
You're like me. Wow.
Yeah. Like dating is
we
crazy.
We haven't found ones we like, but there's plenty of ones that are like interesting.
So like dating is like in Lagos is a bit difficult because like
it's dang.
Yeah, like it's not genuine. Basically, like,
for real,
like you want babes that want you to like it's I want to go out of my way for a girl, but like you have girls that just like want too much.
It's and, transactional.
Like, yeah, like they want to stress
it's always
you.
Transactional.
And, like I like my peace and I like my quiet. To be honest, like I like my peace. I don't want anybody to stress me because I have a lot of stuff that's stressing me
already.
Do you believe that since doctor's taking us in this direction, do you believe that men with money can't save? Faithful to one Nigerian man with money can't say faithful to one woman. Just be real. Let's be real because
man, I need to wait till I get a lot of money. Because if I get a lot of money and I see see somewhere that I really
like, they say
like,
a man is only as faithful as his
This thing
it's more
thing.
Stressful trying to like play games than just trying to like keep it real.
Well.
Just
why are you looking at me? Finish your point. I've got one more question.
The thing there is, like he said, is enormous stress when you are talking to 4 or 5 women in a day.
Sometimes you recall one the same name as the other one.
You understand? Yeah. It's hard to remember. It's hilarious. Yeah, but on the other hand. That's why I said I've seen it. I feel I've seen it though. On the other hand, it's you know when they say afishi.
He's not Yoruba, so translate for him,
please. Yeah,
he's not Yoruba.
When they say wait, let me finish. Because if people say I have to talk now, let me talk.
See where you started.
See when they say it's afishi. For wafa.
Yeah. You put your hand to cause.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's also what do you call it again? Ojukokoro.
Mm-hmm. You get to start translating as you're talking.
That's selfishness.
You understand? Like, trust me, yeah. Like
it goes, you just want
everything. It goes deep. Trust me, it goes deep. And I also
that's
want
your bank. He's basically agreeing with your bankers.
I also want you to understand something that like if you have money. Money be spirit on you, no? Low-key. As a man. No. As a typical black man anywhere in the world. A typical black man anywhere in the world. If he has $5,000, yeah? He's definitely going to buy something worth $1,000 on himself at that moment
I
in time.
I love what he just said because that's a fundamental weakness of a black man.
No. It's not about anything.
Okay.
A typical black man anywhere in the world If he has five, if he has $2,000,
what he's saying is real.
It would the, buy. Yeah. It would buy a wristwatch probably of $8,000 or $100. $800 or $1,000 or a wristwatch or a chain.
So what is this? What is the kind of
the marginal propensity to save for a black man is a lot lower than for a white man.
Yeah.
Because black men have societal, cultural pressure.
What kings, floss, man? What kings?
Stunt.
You understand?
Then we also have the cultural underlying of ego.
You Yoruba understand? Culture, so
some other cultures have inherited from Yoruba tribe, but the Yoruba kings, tribe in man. Particular that's has nice. An ego issue. Yeah. So our marginal propensity to marginal propensity higher. To save is lower.
Is low.
So if the last thing, I mean, how we kind of normally end this.
So wait, let me now buttress it. So for a man, we get $5,000. Say you get $5,000 now. Say you get $5,000 for Lagos. Okay. You are fine. You know, the typical thing there is like, you're obviously going to have the possibility of you having about 8 female women locking around you for you a month.
I'm saying eight.
The main reason why I'm saying eight. honestly, Shalewa, I'm saying eight because
I think it's stressful to have eight babes, man.
No. You guys, no, it takes a lot for you to actually have 8 females that you're talking to. It's a long period of
how are you dealing with that, doctor?
No, it's a long period of it's going to be
wait. Just what is before that? Please. Let me just shut this down quickly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait.
No.
I am eating it.
Oh, don't worry. I'm just doing. Let me protect.
We're gonna move on quickly. Last question. And I know it's gonna want to wrap up, right? So it's sleeping. You have to say one answer each, right? If you were the president of Nigeria, what would you do differently?
Yes, just
if you were, if you're the president of Nigeria, what would you
what's
do
the
differently?
First thing you
think quickly.
Man, it's not just one thing, man.
But what is the first thing you would do?
Like, first thing I would do is like kick out all, like, first thing I would do is to reduce the salary of all the senators, House of Assembly, and all those guys. Because, like, governance is not just about how much. Like,
so, you know that those governors, those senators, the salary is not high, right?
It's too much.
No, but you know that salary is not high.
It's the bonus.
It's mad. I would love to go there. If I was the one, I would love to go there too.
Bro, it's the incentive.
It's the incentive, right? You know that, right?
It's the incentive that is just outrageous.
Yeah.
But for me,
you can't control that one.
For me,
nowhere in the world.
We're the highest, actually, compared to the GDP.
Senators
have the highest
salary here. Yeah, actually,
in Nigeria.
It's quite lucrative.
No, it's
but
almost, yeah.
The incentives are just
the allowances. When you read the list of the allowances,
what happened?
And then imagine the lubricant that will come to them as well to put things in place.
They have newspaper allowance.
Yeah.
No, but that one is
stop it.
That one is.
No,
I get newspaper every time on my phone.
You don't get.
So why should somebody be paying for that?
Leave the lubricant. Leave the lube.
Yeah.
The lube is on a personal note. You understand?
And but this fact, they come
say,
to
no,
you.
No, leave the lube.
You will come now.
There will always be finessing.
Globally,
in the world.
Yes.
So leave the lubing. You understand? sorry if that came out wrong.
No, I love the wig.
Leave that alone.
Leave the lubing.
You understand? But what I'm saying is like the allowances, the incentives, they're pretty much based on how they want to live a more sophisticated life. And unfortunately, we have barbaric'd in Africa, we have barbaric'd the word democracy. Because we have been able to substitute ourselves to the far end of marginalization. We have all marginalized ourselves properly. As in, They marginalized. You understand? So you can't actually tell me it's the same thing in Europe or in America. Yeah, the marginalization is there, but there is a structure that puts everything together. Like at the end of it, you actually feel like the structure that makes we want to actually go to Europe to learn how to actually do things in a better way is what we are lacking here.
Yeah, no, absolute fact.
As regards any other thing, economy, everything, trust me, we are good.
So what would you, if you were the president?
Oh, what I would do is, nobody is collecting monthly salary again. It's wage.
Yeah. Ah. So please, no, I'm a bit.
Lie to me.
No. Trust me. It's
wage
a lot.
Is weekly or something.
Wage is weekly, okay. And wage is propensity, or I would actually say directly. How will I say? You can actually. Okay. Yes. Directly proportional to what your the input, work you're doing.
Productivity, basically.
Exactly.
Oh, so per hour.
Interesting.
Like,
per hour,
you understand? I you know, that's why I said, you know, when I said earlier I did human resource.
Yes, interesting.
And I said, like, to me, human resource in Nigeria is just shit. Sorry to say, my elderly ones.
Is it human capital issue?
Human capital issue, shit. Quote unquote. Yeah, because we have so many people that want to work, but they don't actually can work.
The median age is 19.
And you now find out, like, the people that are not even working, they don't even want to work.
Yeah, facts.
They just want to collect the money.
Facts. Oh boy. Yeah.
So
talking about question of money.
Yeah, you understand? So why wouldn't I want to actually pay someone that's ready to work and do the work and actually just get the fuck out?
But let me just ask you, sorry, very quickly. So your solution, fine, fantastic. But some of these people, a subset of them, the barriers they have is infrastructure, such as light, constant light, energy, etc. Do you not maybe think that that's a problem to solve before wage?
You know, then the thing there is, for me, I feel the problem is solved.
Okay.
We are just being sabotaged.
Okay.
If you say light, Abana, why do you like that?
Well, light no day.
Light no day. light no day, yeah? Light no day, but light supposed day.
Yes.
Let's be frank.
Exactly, yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say? It's something that... it's something that we shouldn't even be having issues about anymore right now.
Shout out to Africa.
You understand? So Pan like Africa, I don't want right now, you know, it's the society that, like, you know that, like, this is a problem. This is something you should change.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm actually being president, like I said, wage, and obviously by the time you actually tumble or you break that table of wage and salary, trust me, a whole lot of things are going to change.
Nah, because, you know what, I like that. That's the,
because
I
no, because
we could go on for the next few hours.
No, I'm telling you,
I think we're gonna have you guys on again.
We have to have you guys on because of timing, right?
Yeah, no.
But bro, I understand that salary point of view, and I feel like it actually makes a valid point because once you can cop how much they're getting, they'll work more and they'll do better job.
People that want to actually do the work
that we even want to be there, yeah. Like, it makes sense.
American president doesn't even get 100k every month.
It makes sense.
Anyways, the salaries are low, but
you get like in Nigeria, we get like.
Anyways, guys, make sure you look out for Mob Kilishi. Okay, mobkilishi.shop.
Yes.
Okay, it actually tastes good.
www.mobkilishi.shop.
MOB.
Check them out. Oh, it tastes good.
Wagbai.
Okay, next time they're here, we'll do live tasting on the
show. Definitely.
Thank you for listening. Sign out.
We do our tasting program sometimes, though. Like,
where can they find that?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have our location for tasting, but sadly, the land was sold.
So, Instagram, Mob Kilishi.
Yeah, Instagram at Mob Kilishi. Everywhere at Mob Kilishi.
Okay,
Mob Kilishi. Anywhere, everywhere.
Signing
Mob
out. Shalawa and the cart. See you, man.
Shout out Shalawa. Shout out Duck. You know?
Shout out to everybody.
Thank you for having us.